This summer, our sermon series is all about those things that we want to stop and take a summer break from so that we can make room in our lives for what God is doing. So the past couple weeks, we've had messages on just stop being cynical, or just stop comparing yourself to others. And today the theme is just stop running around. So as we go to the gospel reading, I would invite you to listen for all of the running around that's happening in this story, both from the friends of Jesus and from the crowds around Jesus. Hear these words from Mark 6. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 apostles and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Afterward, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized Jesus and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, here we are on another Sunday morning, hungering for God together. I think that is why we are all here, because each of us has a hunger for God. And for me, whenever I feel that hunger for God, that desire for closeness with God, I will often turn to books. And one of the books that helped me last year was The Good and Beautiful God. This is all about falling in love with God and turning your attention to God every day, practicing those things that help foster that sense of closeness. And I think we all want that closeness. Well, each chapter would end with an exercise called a soul training exercise that was supposed to help you in your journey with God. So when it came time to crack open this book, I went downstairs to my comfy armchair that's just perfect for quiet times. I had a hot cup of coffee and a little candle. I was ready for whatever this book would tell me. What was the first exercise I would find at the end of the first chapter? I thought, whatever it is, I'll tackle it. Is it spending 20 minutes a day in silent prayer with Jesus? Or is it reading one gospel chapter a day? Or taking communion to people in retirement homes? Or making dinner for the church youth group? You name it, I'm there. So I turned to the very first soul training exercise, the first spiritual exercise that would launch me on this spiritual journey. And do you know what it said? Sleep. Sleep. That's what the author wants me to do for my spiritual journey. His very first sentence says, the number one enemy of Christian spiritual formation today is exhaustion. Now, let me repeat that quote for you in case while I was saying it, you fell asleep. The number one enemy of Christian spiritual formation today is exhaustion. We stay up late scrolling along the screen of our phones. We get up early and choke down coffee. And then when we finally do manage to take a vacation, as soon as you get on the plane, I guarantee you, you fall asleep. We are a culture that is just plain tuckered out, busy with parenting young kids or caring for a spouse or a parent who's getting older, caring for the household needs, cooking and then cleaning up after cooking, volunteering, making appointments, staying late at the office, where we are using an email software called, no joke, Constant Contact, which sounds horrible. And does any of that leave time for the Lord? Where are we supposed to squeeze in some daily prayer time? And how are we supposed to stay awake during it? So that is why in a book on spiritual formation, this guy says, your spiritual journey requires sleep. The author just so happens to be the son-in-law of Penny and Emil Johnson. They go to our 9:40 service, so if you want, you can take it up with him directly. But what if we took him seriously when he says, hey, if you're hungry for God, the first thing you need to do is sleep. What if that really was the first faith practice, the first place to start? You start with sleep. From Mark chapter 6. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 apostles and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick. In other words, they were busy. They were busy, just like us, casting out many demons, healing many who were sick. These apostles had their hands full with the work Jesus gave them to do. And somehow I doubt that exorcisms and healings will always fall during standard office hours. This was probably one of those jobs where they were staying late or coming in on a Saturday or checking their work email just before going to sleep. So after all this running around, the apostles came back to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. And I'm sure that was worth celebrating. I'm sure Jesus thanked them, maybe even paid them a compliment for all they'd done. But the Bible doesn't record any of that. Instead, the Bible says the next thing out of Jesus' mouth is, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus knew what his friends needed. They needed to come away with him, find some quiet, get some rest. Well, of course, the culture around them couldn't allow that. Our culture does not permit that kind of reckless behavior. You can't just go off with Jesus and get some rest. That is not okay. Jesus was beckoning his apostles to get in a boat and sail to a deserted place with him so they could spend some quality time alone together, but the crowds weren't having it. So the crowds took matters into their own hands. When Jesus and his friends started drifting away, the crowds followed them. They rushed ahead on foot, actually beat them to their next destination. The surrounding culture just could not slow down. You can hear it in the language the gospel uses. They hurried there on foot. And even later, they rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was, hurrying, rushing, running around to your next destination. Sound familiar? Even for people who are retired, if you tell them, oh, you must have a lot of free time now, huh? They say, no. No, I am busier than I ever was. That's what happens in our culture. That's just what we do. We swim with the current of the culture. And in our culture, if you're not busy, you're lazy. If you're not working, you're not good for much. But Jesus' culture is different. He says crazy things like, look at the lilies. They don't work. They don't toil, they don't spin, and yet they have these beautiful clothes. They are clothed in beauty, not from their own doing, but because God dresses them in beauty. Very countercultural. In our culture, if you're not earning your own money, then you're taking advantage of others. You're taking advantage of other good tax-paying citizens, right? But Jesus' culture is different. He says, look at the birds. They just rely on daily bread. They don't reap or store up. They don't have a 401k, an investment package. They rely on someone else to feed them. And they get fed because our Heavenly Father feeds them. But it can be very hard to go against the grain, these values that are ingrained in us. And that's why we run around from morning to night at a frantic pace. That's what helps us fit in with all the other people who are running around at a frantic pace. And that way no one can accuse us of being lazy or dependent. But all the while, Jesus is trying to pull us against that current. He's lifting us out of the strong current of our culture and whispering to us, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The good news is Jesus saw all those crowds of people who would rush from place to place and run at a frantic pace to meet him. He saw them, the Bible says, and had compassion for them. He had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He sees our need to perform and fix and stay busy and stay distracted. He sees the pace of our lives, and he has compassion for us because we are like sheep without a shepherd. And he wants to be the shepherd we need. And what does a shepherd do? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We need Jesus to be our shepherd. We need someone to make us lie down, make us. Someone who will stop the madness, just interrupt it all and say, come away with me, get some rest. Jesus is just what we need, and we need him now more than ever. My husband Jordan and I often talk about these Sunday sermons and whether they really can change people's lives or what difference do they make. And of course, I would love it if I preached a message that led to miracles for everyone in this room. But Jordan says, a sermon just needs to keep people on the path for one more week. It can just be something small as long as it keeps people on the path for one more week. So maybe after today's message, we each do something small just for this week. Maybe we don't completely change our lives by quitting our job and joining a monastery where we can pray for 10 hours a day. Maybe we don't do that. But instead, maybe after today, we say, all right, if the first faith practice is sleep, then for one day this week, I am going to sleep in until I can't sleep anymore, just one day. And I'm going to do that because Jesus invites me to. Or maybe we say, for one day, I'm going to keep my phone on silent. No, I'm not going to just keep it on silent. I'm going to turn it off and shut it in a drawer for one day. Maybe like 9 to 5 on a Saturday. It can be a screen-free Saturday. And that's how I'm going to come to Jesus, as he's beckoning me to get some rest with him. The people in my life group have really been inspiring me in this area with just these little baby steps. One of them said he puts his Bible in his car so that whenever there's a bit of downtime, I mean, like if you're stuck in a traffic jam or if you are in the school pickup line, he said that's when he will reach over and pick up his Bible. That's how he's going to come away with Jesus and get some rest. And still another person said, she is extremely busy at work. Her boss does not seem to understand the concept of Sabbath. But what she can do is work through her lunch break so that she can leave in time to come to Life Group. Because Life Group is a place where Jesus meets her, where she can come away to rest. So that's how she works it out to try to answer his invitation. Maybe God will give you your own invitation today. I believe our culture tries to convince us that we are invincible, full of endless energy, and maybe we won't even die one day. Well, one day we will die. All our work will cease. All of the jobs that seem to depend on us will no longer be done by us. It's the ultimate humility and surrender, that moment one day when we meet Christ face to face for the first time. It will be amazing. But wouldn't it be even better if it didn't feel like meeting him for the first time? Wouldn't it be amazing if it felt like we got to just pick up right where we left off? Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. He's inviting us now in this life to come away with him, spend time with him, rest in him. And it's not an invitation that we are to accept only once the kids are out of the house. It's not an invitation for us only once we finish our MBA. It doesn't wait until vacation or retirement. It's an invitation now. Now, how you choose to respond to that invitation is between you and the Holy Spirit. But I believe Jesus is beckoning to all of us to rest in him, in the one who makes us lie down and leads us beside still waters and restores our soul. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us a hunger that can only be satisfied in God. Thank you, God, for making us in your image and for choosing to rest so that we who are made in your image would also have to rest and would have full permission to do so. Thank you, Jesus, for having compassion on the crowds and meeting them where they are, even as you invite them not to stay there, but to follow you to greener pastures. I pray for every tired soul here this morning. I ask your healing hand to intervene with any who struggle to sleep. Bring calm to troubled minds and rest to agitated bodies. Help us surrender to you each evening in a foretaste of that great surrender to you when our lives are over, when we meet our death, knowing that we will have our final rest in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let that moment be a time when we recognize you because we have seen you and spent time with you here on earth. Bring us ever closer to you until we meet you face to face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.